Three Sundays ago, we started our journey through one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and I have titled this multiple Sunday sermon, The Hall of Faith. And last week, we looked at part two, and in part two, we looked at three great men of the past, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Abel gave the Lord the best of his produce for an offering. Enoch walked faithfully with God all the days of his life, and then the Lord took him. Noah was told by the Lord to build the ark, and he built it. And when the flood came on the earth and destroyed everything, he was shown to be right, as he and his family were spared as they stayed in the ark. This is what we looked at one Sunday ago, and as I said last week, each week we will see multiple examples of those who exercised faith in the Lord. And the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praises these people for the faith that they displayed. Each one sets us an example that we are to follow in their steps. It's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Right? So we are to follow people as long as they follow Christ. We are given those examples before us. As we follow them in their faithfulness, we are in fact following Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to look at a very important man in the history of Scripture. And that his name is Abraham. And we're also going to look a little bit at his wife Sarah as well. So the first woman we'll see this morning. And so this time I encourage you to turn in a Bible with me to Hebrews 11. If you don't have a Bible, we always, as always, we have those Bibles, those red Bibles in the pews. And I'm going to begin by reading our focus this morning, verses 8 through 12, and also verses 17 through 19. Because this is where Abraham is discussed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And then down to 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Okay, so here's our big idea over this multiple Sunday sermon. We are to walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. And we are going to see the sixth instruction how this morning, and that is by seeing that Abraham trusted the promise of land and offspring before he received it. So the focus here again is verses 8 through 10. In verses 17 through 19, which I just read. And as we look at Abraham, there is no one more connected to the concept of faith than him. When the Apostle Paul explains that every person in human history enters into a relationship with God through faith, he uses Abraham as the example. He uses Abraham as this example in Romans 4 and Galatians 3. In Galatians 3:9, he writes, "So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Okay, so he's called the man of faith. Genesis 15:6 famously says of him that Abram believed in God and it was counted to him as what? Righteousness. What is interesting is that Bible interpreters wonder when Abraham's conversion took place. Genesis 15:6 mentions that he believed in the Lord, but he appears to have had true faith long before this mention. What the author of Hebrews highlights in verse 8 is what occurred at the beginning of Genesis 12. This is what I read in the call to worship. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The Lord called Abraham to leave the land where he was living to go to a land that he had never been to. Could you imagine what this would be like if this happened to you? We love home. The best part of vacation is coming home, if you love the place that you live. We love the comforts of home. And what if the Lord told you to uproot yourself where you experience all the comforts of home, to go to a foreign land, to a place that you have never been before? This is what happened to Abraham. The Lord told him to go. Now the question was, Abraham, was he going to listen to the Lord's voice? And the answer is, of course, yes. Let's look at how Abraham responded to the Lord in Genesis 12:4. We are told that Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham, at the age of 75, listened to the Lord's voice, and he departed from his home, and we are told that his home was Haran. Now, when you're 75 years old, people are thinking, I'm going to maybe slow down a little bit, take things easy. No, he starts a whole new chapter of his life at the age of 75. I just talked to a gentleman, in fact, I was up in Danbury speaking at a Gideon's pastor appreciation breakfast, and there was another pastor there speaking as well. And at the age of 70, he said, "The Lord was telling me to plant a church." I'm thinking, that's amazing. At the age of 70. So in your older years, you could do some great things. Don't quit. Run hard all the way to the finish line. Abraham was 75 years old when he left his home of Haran. Haran is located in modern-day Turkey, to give you an idea of the geography. And we are told in Genesis 12:5 where the Lord told Abraham and his family to go. They were, of course, told to go to the land of Canaan. The author of Hebrews wrote in verse 8 that Abraham showed by faith going out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. Abram knew where to go as the Lord had told him, but he was not familiar with the place to where he was called to go. And by the way, he was called Abram at first, but then he was renamed Abraham because he'd be the father of many nations. So I'm going to try to call him Abraham. But the Lord made lofty promises to Abraham. The Lord promised Abraham that he, from him, would make a great nation. He promised to bless him and make his name great. He tells him that you are going to be a blessing to many people. Isn't it amazing? If this was about 4,000 years ago. There was a king, a Prussian king, Frederick the Great, and he was trying to think, is God real? Does God really exist? And so he actually talked to a Catholic priest, and he asked the Catholic priest, how do I know that God is real? Do you know what the Catholic priest said? Israel. Of all the peoples of the earth, why are they still a people on this earth? You don't hear about Hittites. You don't hear about Ammonites, Amorites, Jebusites, Hivites. Have you ever met a Hivite or a Jebusite? You have not. We have a man, an Israelite, who comes to this church and preaches sometimes. Trevor Rubenstein. Trevor is an Israelite. He comes from the offspring of Abraham. Their identity has been maintained for 4,000 years. And we know that Romans 11:26 says, all Israel will be saved. The natural branches are going to be grafted back into the olive tree. Okay, so did the Lord deliver on this promise to Abraham that he was going to make out of him a great nation? And the answer is yes. He promised to bless them and to make his name great. He tells them that you are going to be a blessing to many people. Then he promises that people will be blessed and cursed based on how they treat him and his family, him and his nation. This is all the information that the Lord gave him. Think of all the questions that Abraham would have had. But Abraham did not question God. He did not doubt God. He believed him, and he would show his faith in the Lord by acting. True faith always involves action. James 2:17 says, "So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Abraham showed his belief by doing what the Lord called him to do. Abraham did the difficult task of leaving his father's house, leaving his home, leaving all that he knew to go to a place that he knew almost nothing about. This was not a journey where Abraham would leave for a short time, then return, like a vacation or a short temporary relocation. That's not what this is talking about. He uprooted his entire family, and they went on a long journey until they arrived in their new home, this foreign place. The author of Hebrews writes this in verse 9, "By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." Now my parents just moved here, of course, and they sold their house at the end of August, and their life over a two-month period before they moved into their house was living in a moving tent with wheels, what we call a motorhome. Then, they can tell you what it's like to live without a home. Not having a stable home, it's a difficult environment to be in. It's nice to finally be able to put down your roots, get all your stuff in, and to call a place your home. How much more difficult the experience that Abraham and his family had. The land of promise that Abraham and his family went to didn't feel like the land of promise. Verse 9 says that he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents. Living in tents, again, it's fun for a little while, but permanently, for years, not a great environment to live in. They were not going to a luxurious place, but rather to a rugged foreign land. And this might remind us of the first Europeans who came to this land. In 1607, the English came to Jamestown. Brianna and I, we actually went there on our honeymoon. This little piece of land right by the water, that's where the early settlers came to in Jamestown. Then in 1620, the English came to Plymouth Rock in modern-day Massachusetts. The Pilgrims might be on our minds with Thanksgiving coming up. And when they came to Plymouth Rock, there were no hotels waiting for them. They had to make their own shelter, find their own food. They had to do all of this. And a large percentage of them died during the first winter in the New World. They risked everything for freedom to come to this land. And just like the Pilgrims, Abraham and his family took a risky journey as the Lord told them to go. But Abraham obeyed. He went believing that God was going to bless he and his family. The blessing certainly didn't come right away. The blessing would come as he obeyed. The author writes something very interesting about Abraham in verse 10. We know that Abraham believed that the Lord was going to fulfill his earthly promises to he and his family. Abraham believed that the Lord was going to make a great nation out of he and his family. He believed that they were going to be a blessing, and people would either be blessed or cursed based on how they treated them. Abraham believed all of this. But you know what Abraham's ultimate hope was? The author of Hebrews tells us what his ultimate hope was in verse 10. "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." What is this that the author is describing? He is describing the future holy city where God dwells with mankind forever and ever and ever. This is described in Revelation 21 and 22. The Apostle John saw this holy city in a vision where this holy city that is present right now in heaven will one day come down from heaven to the earth, where God and man will once again dwell together in perfect peace and harmony. Listen to the Apostle John describe what he saw in this vision in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Please understand this. Abraham had no Bible like we have. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, was written over 400 years after Abraham lived. Yet without any written word, Abraham knew that Eden was going to be restored. He knew the story. He knew what happened with Adam and Eve. He knew that they were living in the fall. And he knew it wasn't going to stay that way. He knew that a new day would come. He knew that the serpent would crush the head, that the son, the offspring of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent. He knew that. He knew that there would be a holy city that God created that would be on this earth. So Abraham had so much that was on the horizon. There were earthly promises that he waited for and heavenly promises. He believed in both. His greatest hope, however, was in the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. John MacArthur writes this: "Even had he possessed the land of Canaan in his lifetime, it would not have been his ultimate inheritance. He was patient because his eyes were on the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. As important as the earthly land was to him and to God's promise, he looked up toward the heavenly land, which he knew he would inherit without fail." The author of Hebrews is not done talking about Abraham. If you go down to verses 17 through 19, he continues to highlight Abraham's faith in action. In Genesis 15 and 17, the Lord gets more specific and even adds to his promises to Abraham. In Genesis 15, the Lord told Abraham that he would have a son. In Genesis 15:5, he told Abraham that his offspring would be many as the stars in the heavens. Of course, I love going outside at night and looking up at the stars. And I hope you saw the Northern Lights this past week. And so we didn't just have the stars to look at. We had Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, to look at. So Abraham, you can imagine, he didn't have light pollution like we do. He saw way more stars than we saw. And as many as the stars in the heavens, so will your offspring be. The Apostle Paul highlights this offspring in Galatians 3:16. He says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. That offspring is the Lord Jesus Christ, who through his finished work on the cross and his glorious resurrection would make people, through faith, God's offspring. And we sing the song, right, as children. "Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you." So let's just praise the Lord, right? I have a hard time saying that without singing it. But we are Abraham's offspring as believers in Jesus Christ. He also tells Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 18 through 20, that he and his offspring would possess the land that was presently ruled by many peoples in the land of Canaan. Genesis 17:8, we are told that he and his offspring would have this land as an everlasting possession. As the Lord provides Abraham more information, Abraham continues to believe everything that he has said. He did have moments of doubt along the way, as of course we know how that story goes with as Sarah and Abraham are frustrated that this child has not been born yet, and so they try to do it their own way through Hagar, and the Lord was not pleased with that. So they had bad moments, but that's not what the author of Hebrews is highlighting here. He's highlighting the good of Abraham. It's just like going to a funeral, right? We don't highlight negatives about someone at a funeral, right? We highlight the positives. That's what the author of Hebrews is doing here with Abraham. Let's just highlight the positives of the man. And there are many positives to highlight. And then we see in Genesis 15:6, Abram believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham and Sarah eventually did have a son in their very old age. And it was a miracle as Isaac was finally born, Genesis 21. After that long wait, Abraham experiences the greatest test of his faith of all. In Genesis 22, Abraham was told by the Lord to sacrifice his son Isaac. This is where we need to understand that the Lord tests his people. He never tempts us. He never tempts us with evil. That's what James 1:13 says. But he does test us for our good to see what we will do, to make our faith in him stronger. What greater test than the Lord telling you to offer up your child, your only child, on the altar? When you have your own children, this one hits really hard. I remember reading this as a child and thinking, oh, that sounds kind of bad. You know, then you have your own children, you're like, I can't imagine how horrible this would have been. Children are an enormous blessing from the Lord. That's what Scripture says. And we live in a world, right, that doesn't like children, that tries to get rid of them, tries to kill them. That's Satan's work. God loves children. God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Children are an enormous blessing from the Lord. Then you add on the fact that Abraham and Sarah waited what seemed like forever to have Isaac. And now the Lord tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. This doesn't make sense to him. If you think Abraham had questions before concerning God's promises, think of the questions that went through his head now. He was promised a nation that would rule the land of Canaan, and this nation would come from his offspring, and this offspring would be as many as the stars in the heavens. He received this promise and believed it, and now it looks like the Lord is going to derail the promise by having Abraham sacrifice his only son. Let's read what the author of Hebrews says in verses 17 through 19 again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I want us to focus in on verse 19. The author of Hebrews gives insight into Abraham's thinking as he was about to offer up his son as a sacrifice. We are told that he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Did you catch that? Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. Again, no Bible like we have that tells us there is the resurrection of the dead. Alan in Sunday school, he's been taking us through Job, and we looked at Job. By the way, Job lived around the time of Abraham, probably a little bit before the time of Abraham. Job believed in the bodily resurrection. Job 19, verses 25 through 26, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job believed this. Abraham believed this. He believed that even if Isaac died. God's plan was still through Isaac because he believed the word of God. Through Isaac, as verse 18 says, shall your offspring be named. Not someone else, Isaac. He believed that if he were to stick that knife through Isaac and kill him, Isaac would be raised from the dead. In Genesis 22:5, we see that Abraham told his young men that he and his son Isaac would return. You can see his faith here. You can see the trust that Abraham had, that the Lord knew what he was doing, and somehow this would work out for good. Again, this is before Romans 8:28 was written, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. This is faith in action. Abraham doesn't know all the details. This is what faith is. But he trusts the Lord. This is what faith is. You don't see everything, but you believe the Lord is going to deliver. The author of Hebrews highlights this pattern of faith in Abraham's life. Now, were there bad spots along the way? I mentioned Hagar. Yes, there were bad spots along the way. And that should encourage us because we're like, okay, well, we have some bad spots too. But the Lord is pleased when we exercise faith. Abraham, more than anyone in Scripture, is synonymous with the life of faith. He went through great lengths to trust the Lord, and the Lord delivered. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. And the sixth instruction how is by seeing that Abraham trusted the promise of land and offspring before he received it. Okay. Now we're going to look at the second one this morning, which is the final one. And that's the seventh instruction how you and I are to walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old. And this is the first woman we've looked at, seeing that Sarah trusted even though she was past the age of childbearing. Verses 11 and 12. Let's read those together. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Okay, so before we saw the stars in the heavens, that's how many their offspring would be. Now we're getting another illustration. As many as the grains in the sand. If you ever go to a beach, think about Abraham and Sarah. Think about Abraham's offspring. These illustrations are helpful for us to think through as we think about God's promises that he delivers on. Now, as we look at these verses, some have argued that the focus here is, in fact, on Abraham and not on Sarah. But how the text is written in the original Greek language makes it very clear that the focus is indeed Sarah. The Greek tells us that she is the subject and not Abraham. And maybe the big reason why people believe that Abraham is the focus is because in many ways, Sarah was unimpressive. Let's take a look at this and we will see that the Lord very much desires to commend her for her faith. Now, when Sarah heard that she was going to have a son well past the age a woman is normally able to conceive, she was at first in disbelief. Sometimes you hear stories about women who are in their 40s and they find out, I'm pregnant? Like, it's a surprise, right? Could you imagine being as old as Sarah? I'm pregnant? And it would have been quite a day for her to hear this news. And at first, she was in disbelief. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 15, we read this. They said to him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. In other that's comical. You can't lie to God. He knows. Nope, I know what you did. You did laugh. Yep. Then a few chapters later in Genesis 21, Sarah bore a son to Abraham as the Lord said would take place. And we could see the great joy that filled Sarah's heart in the account where Isaac was born in Genesis 21 verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to go to the end part of this passage. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah went from laughing in unbelief, doubting that she would bear a child at such an old age, to the joy of laughter that fills one's heart. And I hope they had some help with this baby, right? Being that old, not having the energy, oh boy. But she is stating that having this son would fill her with the joy of laughter as others joyfully surrounded her with laughter. Every happy household has laughter. Does your home have laughter? Good question to ask ourselves. My hope and prayer is that when my children grow up, they will remember the home they grew up in as a home of joy and laughter. As Sarah and Isaac, as they are pondering this, and this birth of this child, Isaac, she was filled and surrounded by laughter, which always accompanies great joy. When we're happy, what happens? Laughter comes about. But even before this laughter, we are told in these verses in Hebrews 11 that Sarah exercised faith. In Genesis, we aren't given clear indication that she had faith like Abraham. What we saw in Genesis 15 is that the moment the Lord told Abraham that he would have a son, he believed. But Sarah was not so. But Hebrews 11:11 says this, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So what we learn through the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is that Sarah indeed did believe, along with Abraham, that she would bear a son. The author of Hebrews highlights Sarah as a woman of faithfulness, even though she at first doubted, but her trust in the Lord eventually came. This tells us how life is. This is so helpful to think about. Some have a harder time believing than others. But if you have struggled with doubt, this should encourage you. In Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, there's a story of a boy possessed by a demon. And this demon was torturing this boy. The father of the boy asked Jesus to heal him. Jesus, knowing that the man struggled with doubt, tells him to believe. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus tells him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Then the father of the boy responds in Mark 9:24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. So, true faith can be mixed with some doubt. Just because you doubt doesn't mean you don't have faith. This man struggled, but his faith prevailed over unbelief. We also see the grace that Jesus showed Thomas after the resurrection, doubting Thomas, where he said, I need to feel your side and feel the nails in your hands. Jesus didn't cast out Thomas. Thomas was one of his. At some level, all of us have struggled with doubt, and some more than others, but we are to work through that and always believe that God is trustworthy, that we can trust him as we journey through the life of faith. And we can trust him with the promises that have yet to be fulfilled. Sarah eventually arrived at this place believing that she would bear a son, and this is a model for us. In verse 12, the author highlights the extraordinary action that God accomplished. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. This promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah is truly incredible. Naturally speaking, they were unable to conceive a child. But God made it this way because God is all-powerful. God can do things that people think He can't do. He can do anything. The only thing God can't do is evil. Everything else in His power, He can do. And the children just learned about this in Kids for Truth. I remember going through this with Alethea and Isaiah. God is the creator of the laws of nature. Nature listens to Him, not the other way around. He wanted to show the whole world that He was going to keep His promise of offspring to Abraham and Sarah, even when it seemed impossible. This is why God does this, to show how great He is. Indeed, they would have born to them descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham and Sarah trusted the Lord, and the Lord, as He always does, proved Himself trustworthy. Okay, so we need to hear this today as these models of faith are put before us. Even as we struggle with doubt, if you have struggled with doubt in the past or you're struggling with it right now, you can overcome that. Pray, Lord, help me to trust You more. Help me to get over this. Because You were faithful to them in the past, and You're going to be faithful in my life. You're going to be faithful to deliver on all the promises that You have made to me as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because think of the great promises that await us in Christ Jesus. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. Because the Lord loves our faith. And the seventh instruction, how, is by seeing that Sarah trusted even though she was past the age of childbearing. Now, next Sunday, we're going to continue to look at Abraham and his family as the author of Hebrews talks about that. And I look forward to looking at more in the future as we continue to go through each person here that is highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that shows the hall of faith. But this time, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we do thank You for this time we've had to see the glory of Your word. Abraham was called the man of faith. He showed extraordinary faith, leaving his homeland to go to a land he had never been to. Sarah showed faith, even though she doubted. Abraham showed a faith in sacrificing his son Isaac, or being willing to sacrifice him, and he didn't have to go through with it, but he showed his great faith. And right now, Lord, everyone in this room, You want them to show faith every single day with the circumstances in each one's life. And my prayer, Lord, is that You would apply this through Your Spirit to everyone in this room right now, where they have to exercise faith. And it's difficult. It's not easy. But help them to exercise faith with the circumstances that they find themselves in. And if anyone here has never put their trust in Christ, that they would take the first step of faith by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins and rose from the dead. And by believing in Him, one's sins are forgiven and one receives eternal life. So we commit this to You right now in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.